Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, please bless us today with understanding. You give us some deep things sometimes. And sometimes you add to these and bring about, solutions later. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to continue with a very interesting Preserved from the Beast, number 15. And a lot of this is going to be concerning an October sign of death and resurrection. Here's a note from Eve. She said, I came across this series of dreams from March of 2019 and felt it was no coincidence that Father would bring these past revelations to light at this current time. October seems to be a month of interest in these dreams as a possible timing for the bride and man-child. So this first revelation we're going to share is from Eve's dream in 3:8:19, and it's an update concerning funds being delayed until now. Also, David Dangler put some notes in this. Eve said, I dreamed that David merged with my maternal grandfather, Robert Ford, meaning bright fame, was teaching me to drive his vehicle. Well, David could represent the man-child body of bright fame. And a vehicle, of course, is our mode of action, and so on and so forth. She goes on to say, Elijah, Josiah, and Isaiah were all in the back seat. The man-child raised up children, this is my own note, of the bride, which Elijah and Josiah are. They represent the witnesses and reformers, and Isaiah was also. And David Dangler wrote a note, the combined ages of the boys is 42, as in months, or 3.5 years. Interesting. My note is, as we see below, these children of the bride grow up quickly and to be mighty warriors for the kingdom in the tribulation. And they are in the back seat because they follow the training of the bride. Jesus, the man-child, raised up the bride first, and out of her the two corporate witnesses were born. This is true. And she said, this vehicle was a golden-colored luxury sedan with the driver's side on the right side of the vehicle, like the European cars are designed. And I believe Eve represents the bride here, and the vehicle, or our temple, and our vehicle, right? This body that we walk around in is our vehicle. And how we walk could make the difference between copper and gold, right? But this, she said, this golden sedan could also represent the money transfer from God to David mentioned below in this dream. This is true. Lots of times there's more than one interpretation of things that we see in dreams, and God's very good at that, so we just need to pay attention to everything. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we know that this means in us, shining forth from, manifested means, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. All right, well, she went on to say, David was in total control of the vehicle from the passenger side, so I didn't have to worry if I made any mistakes. Well, this is in type of the first man-child, Jesus, who trained the bride in total control. And she said, God is in total control of everything that is currently happening and the tribulation time to come. True. She said, Elijah, Isaiah, and Josiah were thrilled with the increased speed at which we were traveling and were excited about going to the large warehouse where David lived. Well, we know that Philippians 4:19 says, And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I believe David's house is a place of storage of grain, as the Lord shown us in many dreams, which is the word. And it's being stored up for the 7 years of famine, as we have received in other dreams. Amen. So we need to be prepared and get ready. We have many people doing a great job of preparing the grain in the granaries to feed the people. Amen. Eve said, this reminded me of a dream David had back in 2016 of a warehouse and a large box of gold coins to supply the needs of the saints during the tribulation. And here it is. We're going to come back to this dream, but I'm going to take this short sidestep here. We call it Box of Gold Coins Given to David. And it's talking about the David Manchild ministry. As we know, the Manchild was given money, funds, to go and rebuild the kingdom. So, and this was November of 2016. I had a vision in the night. I saw myself in a huge warehouse. And I had been sent by my boss, who was the father, to move a large box that I saw in the spirit to our part of the warehouse. And when I got there, I still saw the box in the spirit, and I saw the industrial-sized forklift that I was to use to pick it up. I would judge the box to be about 8 foot square and very strong. It was full of dollar-sized gold coins. I looked at the forklift and wondered if it was big enough to pick the box up. Well, gold is very heavy. I found the manager of the warehouse and told him what I was told to do. And he said, I was told by my boss not to even speak nominally. In other words, in name only, of that box. Then I told him, do you want me to go back to my boss, or do you want to speak to yours? I knew my boss, Father, was over his boss, Satan. And that was the end of the vision. And I believe the Lord is saying that we are soon to receive access to the money to serve his saints in the tribulation. So now we're going back to Eve's dream again, okay? David told me to put the right turn signal on as we exited going up onto the exit ramp from the highway and turned right at the stop sign. So there's lots of rights there, right? It's always the right way to go. That's the way the sheep go, right? So it's obvious that the Davids are going to the right. And the driving down and then up represents death and resurrection. And the sheep go to the right as the goats go to the left, right? 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says, Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Even so run that you may attain. Well, we have to abide in Christ because he's the one that receiveth the prize. He's the one, right? And as we pulled up to the warehouse, I noticed it was painted white and light blue, representing purity and heavenly places, I believe. It was dark inside the warehouse because we were the first ones to arrive. So David went and turned the lights on. Well, that's like Jesus, of whom it was said, "They that sat in darkness saw a great light." Yes, he was turning the lights on. Elijah and Isaiah and Josiah were fascinated with the unique doorway into the warehouse and decided to play with the panels, practicing taking the panels off and putting them back into the nail head pegs. Okay. Isaiah was especially interested in doing this. Okay. Well, opening and closing this door represents the authority that we have to bind and to loose in order to provide for us or others, right? He said, we've got to make sure that the others will be able to get the panels open. Yes, that's correct. And, of course, we know that people following in our steps also have to be able to partake of the benefits of God's storehouse, right? So all who follow in their steps will have to learn the same ability, right? We teach today people to bind and loose and to take authority that was given them over all the power of the enemy. And they have to learn to share that with others, as Jesus told his disciples. Isaiah 22:20-25 says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim. That means God will establish concerning the man-child ministries, the son of Hilkiah, who is replacing the apostate leadership symbolized by Shebna further down in this revelation. And I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. He's speaking to Shebna now in correction. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David, that's David's authority to bind and to loose, will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. God will give authority to his man-child. Verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, every small vessel from the cups even to the flagons. Those are different sized vessels, right? In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place give way. That was Shebna, the apostate leader. And it shall be hewn down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. Yes, and God is in the process of doing this now, you know, and he's been doing it for some years, is revealing the apostate ministers. And God is about to replace them with the man-child ministry. So they all stayed near the door as David and I went to the large washroom. So the storehouse of the grain or seed represents the word we have stored up, and it's the washing of the water with the word, right? We use it to clean ourselves up. It was standing over by a large white washing machine as David came over and laid the car keys on top of the washer. That's the keys of David, right? He said, are you ready to take your driving test? And when we are washed up, we are all ready to solo drive for ourselves, right? And driving symbolizes us steering our vehicle, which is this body, according to the dictates of the Word of God. Eve said, I said, sure. Even though I haven't had that much practice, I know I will pass the test. Unquote. Yet David had only taught me how to operate the turn signals as he had been driving the car. She learns fast, huh? 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says, And he has said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. As she said, she only learned about the turn signals, and here she was driving the car. Then Catherine Austin Fitz, you'll probably recognize the name, an international financial expert, came into the washroom of the warehouse. I knew she would be the instructor that gave me my final driving test. She said, Are you ready, Eve? I said, Yes, I believe so. And Eve has a note here. Elijah will be taking his final test on October the 20th, 2021. It might be significant as we go on, might see that. Elijah represents corporately a ministry of repentance and getting cleaned up in preparation for the man-child Jesus' appearance. Amen. And Wikipedia says Catherine Austin Fitz has a Master of Business Administration degree in finance from the Wharton School. She is also an expert in the mishandling of funds by the factious deep state. Her website is called the Solaire Report, from Latin, sun, or S-U-N, or S-O-N, actually, report. Amen. Then David received a call from Sandy Shaw and walked outside the warehouse to talk with her. She was telling him that she was late in transferring the funds into his account. Of course, Sandy gets these revelations that tell us where we are along the way, and that's what she did then. And that was going to be delayed, okay? So her revelation was that the funds would be delayed. I had a vision, I had a vision of Sandy sitting in her motorized chair in her living room where we currently have our meetings, talking on the phone with David, and I heard everything she was telling him. So I walked outside and I asked David, What's the matter? And he said, Sandy says she will be late in transferring the funds into my account. The funds are there, but she hasn't had a chance to transfer them yet. So she hadn't gotten a revelation that it was going to happen then, right? So this was way back in 2019, and as we know, there was a delay there. Sandy is very prophetic and let us know what is coming in the future. So a delay of finances coming into our account in the future, which was after 2019 or 2019 on, right, was implied. So now we need to know when it's going to happen, right? Well, David Dingler put a note here. Sandy means defender of men, protector of mankind, which she does with her prophetic revelations, which the faction hates so much and have done their best to kill her many times. I'm just going to tell you. And Eve said, I felt this was about the finances the Lord promised to David to take care of God's people being delayed. So I asked if we could pray against this delay, and the Lord said yes. There will be an end to it, obviously. And this is relevant for now, since the deep state is trying desperately to stop the plundering of their stolen funds. So this is a warning to pray against this delay, which the deep state desires so much. Amen. So when Catherine Austin Fitz heard that the transfer was delayed, she said, we'll have to reschedule the final driving test in light of the transferred delay. And then she left. Well, this is a warning to pray down the delay so that this reschedule of giving the bride authority and mobility is unnecessary. Yes, the time for the bride to go forth in authority to raise up the kingdom is very near. So we have to come to the end of this delay, correct? I asked Father, she said, for a word concerning the delay of the money transfer, and my finger was on in the house, quote unquote, in Esther 7 and 8. The delay was when the bride did not intercede to the king against Haman at the first banquet. That was the first banquet of wine, but waited until the second banquet in that context. So we need to intercede to the Lord against the faction and the deep state. And, well, Father, we just ask that there be no more delay in the declassification of documents, FISA warrants, etc., against the deep state and factious criminal activities, but that their sins be enumerated without delay, as Esther did at the second banquet. Amen. Here, Esther 7 and 8, in context 5 through 10. Then spake the king Ahasuerus, and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, and where is he, that does presume in his heart to do so? Yes, well, now it's getting reported to the king of kings here. And Esther said, An adversary and an enemy, even this wicked Haman. We know Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. And then said the king, Will he even force the queen before me in the house? Now this is very interesting. Five of us got dreams of the factious leader molesting our women in our body. We knew that this was talking about his lusts. So, you know, it really identifies the leader of the gang that was to come against Esther and Mordecai and so on. So as the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then said Harbona, one of the chamberlains that were before the king, Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai. Haman constantly trying to kill the man-child. Mordecai means little man, which is the man-child, who spake good for the king. Amen. We do speak good for the king. Standeth in the house of Haman. And the king said, Hang him thereon. So what he wanted to do to the man-child happened to him. So they hanged Haman. That's the factious Judas of our day, right? On the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Well, Father hung Haman, which is what has been done to traitorous people in the church and state. And we know that the alliance has tried in military tribunals many thousands of deep state criminals. Much evidence is coming out concerning the election fraud, vaccine damages, criminal acts of the deep state players. God has tried and will judge Judas in the church also. Once I was outside the warehouse, I realized that we were in the middle of a small downtown area that resembled our local town. Elijah, Josiah, and Isaiah joined David and I outside the warehouse. And as we went to meet the rest of the UBM brethren in town, I noticed that there was a pumpkin festival. That was a big deal celebration going on. So we're going to shorten this dream because this is the one of the points that had to be made here. And then she said, I woke up. And the timing for events in this dream is clearly October. So, thank you, Lord. And we're seeing some of it happen out there. We're seeing the Red Sea take down the criminals, but we haven't seen it all yet. They're raising up the militaries to go out and collect these people. And God's raising up his military to go out and collect those criminals in the church, as Eve just had a dream about. Okay, so this next dream, we call Pandemic, Houses and Funds Transfer Suspended. Of course, this was back in 3, 9, and 19. Suspended till when? Aha! Okay. So David put some notes in this too, David Dengler. He said, Eve said, I dreamed that David had started a school for me to homeschool my three sons, Noah, Elijah, and Josiah in. Well, we know that the bride homeschooled her children that were to raise up and be something in the tribulation, right? Psalm 45, 14 through 16 says, she shall be led unto the king embroidered work. That's the bride. The virgins, her companions that follow her, that's the children, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou shalt make princes in all the earth. Speaking to the bride, thy children, they will be princes in all the earth. Praise God. I got into a golden luxury vehicle, like the one in the dream above. Well, the text we just looked at has the bride in gold, also indicating that she has received the reward promised to the bride. And not only that, gold apparel represents very valuable works, because our apparel represents our works, right? So Psalm 45 and 13, the king's daughter within the palace is all glorious. Her clothing is inwrought with gold. Clothing, again, meaning works. And our works need to be gold, because they need to be the works of Jesus through us, right? Eve said, I drove to my father's land, which represents our promised land, in Texas, on a narrow road representing the way of sanctification, to pick them up from the right side mobile home. Amen. All of these people will be from the right side mobile home. All of these people that will be glorified in the tribulation and will be leaders in the tribulation, coming from the right side mobile home. Left side was for the faction. And when we got back to the school in Tennessee, I said to David that I needed to use the restroom. So the bride is getting cleaned up for the blessings to come, right? And David said, you'll have to go across the street to the county clerk's office to use the restroom. And this is where the vehicle registration office is located. So here we go. You must have your driver's license to go there and to make your vehicle legal to drive on the road. And of course, this is the authority that the bride is coming into, right? So I headed outside, and I saw all these light green-colored locusts everywhere. It was like a plague of them. There were so many. They looked like cicadas. In other words, they're light color, I guess. And there were so many of them on their backs, all dying on the streets and sidewalks, that I had to step very carefully. So it took me a while to get over to the restroom, and I thought in the dream, this is pestilence. All right, pestilence is taking out the locusts. Do you remember the locusts in Joel chapter 2? The army, the enemy army? Yeah. So this is pestilence. The faction needs to take note of this. Okay. This is the pestilence. And she has a note here. Vaccines cause mass die-offs of the population. Christians are increasingly hated as anti-vaxxers and being blamed for the country's woes and the increase of the CV Delta variant spread. The persecution will intensify mid-trib. Yes. Well, the deep state in government and church is represented as the locust army of Joel chapter 2. And their attempted attack on Jerusalem, the bride. This army was likened to a pestilence, but God saw to it that it killed them instead of the bride. Notice. And at the Red Sea, northern army, armies against Jehoshaphat and the Sennacherib scenario, they came against God's people, but it was they who were destroyed by a supernatural move of God. Remember that, enemies of the bride. Yes, God is going to defend his bride just like Ahasuerus did Esther and took out Haman and his army. Amen. David Dengler wrote a note here in Exodus 12. The first Passover leading to unleavened bread is where there must be no leaven for 7 days, and God promises to smite the Egyptians in the 10th plague of the destroying Passover to kill the Egyptians, or the vaxxed. Okay, that was my note, not his, that vax part. Once I walked into the restroom, I saw Amy Methvin standing as if in suspended animation. She was merged with David's daughter, Deborah, who is a realtor. They were just frozen there in the middle of the restroom. And Eve said, I believe Amy, the UBM treasurer, may represent finances coming to the ministry. Well, that's true. She handles that for the people. And David could represent the real estate that will be purchased with the transfer of funds received by the ministry to meet the needs of the people. True. Suspended animation makes me think of the delay in transferring of the funds in 2019 to David's account in the first dream. Amen. So, the delay is what we're praying against, and of course the end of that delay is in these days. Okay. So she said, then I woke up. All right, good. Well, this is the delay which we are to cast down by spiritual warfare, and because the bride is not to delay to do this intercession against the deep state northern army. The deep state is desperate to distract and stop the declassification of documents that prove their criminal works and send them to Gitmo and quite a few other places. Pray that they fail, and the allies of Trump are insistent to reveal these documents and that the funds are released that are part of this domino effect of good things to come. Amen. Some of these notes were back in 2019, and some of them we're updating now because there's more revelation seen in these revelations. Eve said, I also received by faith at random Zechariah 9 and 15, and my finger was on, they shall be filled like bowls, unquote. And the context is 9 through 16. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Well, that's the man-child ministry coming at a point when the people of God are weak, right? He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon the ass, even upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Well, Jesus comes in the Son of David to fight the beast for his people, right? He's doing it again in our day. The things that have been and the things that shall be. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning, and the Lord will blow the trumpet and will go with whirlwinds of the south. Going against the enemies, right? Verse 15, the Lord of hosts will defend them, and they shall devour and shall tread down the sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls, like the corners of the altar. This anointing to come upon the people of God to conquer their enemies. And the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up on high over his land. Yes, the Lord will fight for the bride during this pestilence, and the northern army is taken down. Okay. So now we're going to discuss two dates in October that have come up in our dream revelations. The 23rd, which represents death, and the 26th, which represents resurrection. We were amazed to discover on our number table list that these two were connected as a reference to the number 26, with death and resurrection spoken of there as a footnote. And this reference spoken of is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, which speaks of the death and resurrection of the man-child, Jesus, right? So here's the note. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 equals died, 23, rose, 3, which means 3 days later, equals 26. Well, amen. That was the note next to that number. Interesting. And we didn't know that until we were looking at this particular part of it, and we went to look up the number. You know, interesting, so interesting. Okay, this next one, called October 23rd, death, birth of the man-child. I'll explain that to you. And Eve Brass got this on 6/12/14. I think this dream is announcing the completion of death of the pre-anointed man-child ministers and their anointing. Okay. Obviously, the pre-anointed are going through the death, and their anointing brings them into the life, right? October 23rd through the 26th, okay? I dreamed that I was part of a school of Hispanic children, even though I was an adult. Well, we are children, aren't we? And Abraham's seed are sojourners in a foreign land, right? We are foreigners in that land. We don't come from earth, we come from heaven. Amen? This school was kindergarten through the 12th grade. God's people, of all spiritual ages, are aliens in a strange land. This is true. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul and are, by the way, a part of this world, right? Acts 7 and 6 says, and God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and treat them ill 400 years. That's a number of tribulation, and it's a time of tribulation. Amen. All the children were excited because the school had just let out for the summer. Oh, boy, I remember that. That's a joy at the end of a time of training and tribulation, right? Yes, indeed. So we can understand that. We all exited the school building into the playground. The sun was so bright, it seemed that it was almost directly overhead. And she gives Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The ground of our playground area was all sandy. Jeremiah 33:22 says, As the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sands of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Okay, many converts coming to the David ministries, right? The sun had killed all the grass, and there were just a few tumbleweeds left rolling along with the breeze. So the sun has put to death the flesh during our training and tribulations, right? 1 Peter 1:24 says, All flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. And that's a good thing. I went and spread a striped, rainbow-colored, woven Mexican blanket on the sand. Rainbow-colored. The rainbow was a sign of grace that God would not destroy mankind. The beginning of Jesus' man-child ministry was a time of great grace given to God's people. The blanket is a covering that is foreign or heavenly. The many colors represent the attributes of the light of the world, Jesus, the Word, right? You know, a prism separates the light into these different colors, and they're the different attributes of godliness. Genesis 37:3 says, Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So he put on these attributes of Christ, right? Joseph did. Ezekiel was caught up to the throne in Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmament there was over their heads the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man upon it above. Amen. Then he described the rainbow in the cloud. You know what that is. And then verse 28 says this, As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And Ezekiel had just seen the throne of God and was now sent as a man-child to God's people. So chapter 2 and 1 through 3 says this, And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. He called him Son of Man all the way through Ezekiel, representing what? Jesus. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. There's that anointing. And set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. See, so he was caught up to the throne, anointed, and sent to the children of Israel, who, by the way, were in captivity. He said, I then sat down to rest on the rainbow-colored blanket, against the silver chain link fence that separated our playground from the outside of the school grounds. Amen. And this is representing resting and leaning upon sanctification or separation from that which is of the world. In Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. This is what we're here for. We're here to be sanctified so we can come into the presence of God. We were all waiting to be picked up in a bus to go somewhere. Well, we believe it was into the wilderness to be taught of the man-child. Many of the children had lunches packed and sleeping bags and some clothes packed, but all I owned was the Mexican blanket. The covering of righteousness, right? The covering of the attributes of God, right? So that was what I was taking. And that's the bride speaking, of course. And when we abide in Christ, He is all the provision we need. Amen. I could hear all the children running and playing with squeals of joy while waiting for the bus driver to arrive. Summer was finally here. Mark 13 and 28 says, now from the fig tree learn her parable. When her branch is now become tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. Yep, all God's children will enter the seven-year tribulation wilderness with varying degrees of faith. Amen. Summer was also a time of the Lord's coming, in our case, at this time, of Jesus in the man-child. And, of course, it's when the leaves are out, as we've talked in recently, taking in the sun so that they can put forth the water and the oxygen, which is life. So summer has more to do with this symbolical thing than the physical. Even so, ye also, when you see these things coming to pass, this is verse 29 of Mark, know ye that he is nigh even at the doors. Yep. When we see the bride bearing fruit like leaves, you know. Then a Hispanic mother, meaning a believer, named Maria, or Mary, actually in our language, and her son came up and sat down next to me with their belongings. Luke 1 and 45 says, and blessed is she, Mary, that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which were spoken to her from the Lord. And what was that? That was that she would bear the fruit of Jesus. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She was wearing a colorful head covering. So another sign of submission to her husband, right? And this is, of course, representing the renewed mind of Christ. And her son had light tan-colored skin, light golden brown hair, and green eyes. He was around 5 years old. They were very thirsty and wanted me to give them a drink of my pineapple juice that I was drinking. So I shared it with them. And this could represent another woman who had successfully borne the fruit of Christ through grace, represented by the number 5. We share the same fruit, juice, or drink. While I was waiting for the bus driver, a Hispanic father, representing the father, approached me. An alien to this world, the spiritual head of his house. Amen. And when I looked up at him, the outer edges of the sun made a halo of light around his head. Representing a heavenly mind, like the sun, he humbly presented an invitation for my oldest son, Noah, to attend a party for his son and held it out to me with both hands. The Father is doing this, right? Our Father sends out invitations for us to fellowship with the Son in the man-child at the tribulation seven-day marriage feast. The seven-day marriage feast ends, of course, with everybody going to the groom's home in heaven. I could dimly see his face because of the brightness of the halo around his head. He cocked his head a little and looked upon me with such love that his eyes looked as if they were about to shed tears, with a sparkle of pride in his eyes on behalf of his son. He was so proud of his son. Yes, he is. I smiled and thanked the man as I took the invitation and told him I would deliver it to Noah. The king obviously sent forth his servants, the bride, to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast. Right? Amen. And some people will join the marriage feast in the 7 years or 7-day-year marriage feast. So Eve said, could this invitation be linked to the one below that David and I were looking at for October the 26th? We think so. In the dream, I thought, this boy has to be around 8 years old, and my son, Noah, is 17 years old. Why is a younger boy inviting Noah, who is a teenager, to his party? Of course, Noah's older than that now, but we're still recounting this dream from 2019. Why is this younger boy inviting Noah, who is a teenager, to his party? Well, 8 is new beginnings. Christ and the man-child is a new beginning. 888 is the gematria for Jesus. And 17 represents those preserved through the tribulation. 17 could represent the ark of preservation for Noah. We know that Joseph was 17 when he was going into great tribulation, and he was preserved by God Almighty all the way through it, right? Amen. So the invitation was a large, clear party favor bag with a gold twist tie that sealed it at the top. And this is a play on words. Luke 1:30, Eve said, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So those who bear the fruit of Christ will find favor from the Lord. I could see through the favor bag that the invitation was a round black and white soccer ball card. So I think this means the invitation will be given to join the battle between darkness and light. As you know, soccer ball looks like that, and it goes back and forth, right? And behind that, a light blue 8.5 by 11 piece of paper with 4 paragraphs of instructions on it. The paragraphs were written in 2 columns so that each paragraph took up 4 equal quadrants of the page. Well, we know that 2 columns are used on each page of most Bibles. And you got 2 pages open at one time, of course, so there's the 4. And the invitation text above is in 2 columns in my Bible, she says. So, our invitation is there to partake of the marriage feast of the body and blood of Christ. Amen. And after the Father disappeared, because God is a spirit, I opened the invitation to find out the details of where, when, and what time this party was so that I could help Noah find it. Well, the when and the what time would indicate the beginning of the marriage feast, which is the tribulation, and the beginning of the man-child's latter reign ministry, right? Noah was written in English in bold capital letters across the top curve of the invitation. The invitation, of course, is to the few that are chosen. In other words, those in the ark of rest. Noah means rest. Then under that, to the left, was written also in English, New York Avenue, but no number address. Well, we know that New York is known as a mini type of Babylon, America, where this invitation is being given. Okay? See, then she continues. In the center, under Noah's name, was written Octa, quote unquote, O-C-T-A. And in parenthesis, Octa means eight. And below Octa was a small rainbow sparkled butterfly sticker with 23rd written on it with black pen ink. So there it is. In the dream it was given to her. 23rd was written on it in black, right? And what the Spirit showed me is that the rainbow sparkle butterfly represents Isaiah 61:3, a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So the butterfly and the colors represent resurrection life from the dead. You see, a garland for ashes, right? Yes. So that 23rd represents the death. Amen. As also you can see in the table of numbers and its representations in the Bible. Throughout the scriptures, caterpillars were sent by God for judgment and represent death. But once our fiery trials are over, his people become butterflies clothed with the rainbow colors of Christ, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. In the same text in Isaiah 61. I don't know if this is a literal date, but Father is using it for a numeric significance. It very well could be. We'll find out soon. We also must note that when a series of events is delayed, it no longer has to happen on the original date in later years. But we think God really wants to show something here, so we think it very well could mean this happening of death and resurrection at this time in October. So the number 23 has handwritten by the Father, was handwritten by the Father in black ink, and 23 means death. Yes. After their crucifixion of the man-child body, that body will receive resurrection life, which is the same thing as being caught up to the throne, which is the same thing as the man-child starting his ministry with authority, the throne authority. In other words, the birth of the man-child ministry, right? You see that? Because when Jesus was resurrected, he was caught up to the throne, right? Isaiah 61, 1 through 5, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus' first sermon as the man-child of his day, as a type of the end-time man-child body in which he lives. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. How many captives do you know around you? Many, 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 right? And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Many are bound up, and Jesus set them free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Okay, well, that part Jesus left for the man-child of our day, because the man-child of our day is coming as a lion. He came as a lamb, but he is coming in the man-child as a lion in our day. A day of vengeance of our God. God is going to take vengeance against his enemies. to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. What was that? That was when the kingdom was destroyed by the Babylonians and took them into captivity. They're going to build the old wastes. That's the bride, by the way, in Jerusalem, starting there. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Why is that? Because they have more important things to do. God is now manifesting in his bride, and they don't have to work for a living, struggling to take care of that while they're feeding the people of God worldwide. This is an important thing to do, the most important thing, and God's going to take care of it. Amen. I then looked at the paper behind the invitation with the four paragraphs, and it was all written in bold, strange letter symbols that I knew was a heavenly script or language. They say the number four means creative works or creation. But in the dream, I said, I can't read most of this because it's all in Spanish. Yeah, there it is, the heavenly language. So since God is representing himself as a foreigner in Spanish, then the dream is pointing out that Spanish represents the heavenly language. Mm-hmm. I then asked Mary, in our language, who was also looking over my shoulder at the invitation, if she could help me translate it. I said, I can read New York, but there are a lot of parks on New York Avenue. And then I looked at the date and asked her what octa means in Spanish, and she said, oh, that's October. Laugh online, right? So I said, okay, October 23rd. That's what she said in the dream. Okay, October 23rd. Again, I don't know that this represents a literal day and time, but it could. Yes, it could. And we're, of course, coming to that very quickly here. Yeah, we will see. Then I looked over to the right at the time and asked her what the time 0 hours and 9 minutes meant. Written 009, right? And what it represented in Spanish. And she said, oh, that's 2 o'clock p.m. Well, Eve's note here is on the biblical clock, 2 p.m. is the ninth hour. If you look at this as a decimal, the 9 is in the hundreds place, a hundredfold fruit of Christ after crucifixion. Okay, Matthew 27, 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Okay, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this is, of course, the death which gives life at the ninth hour. Amen. You have to lose your life to gain your life, right? Then we looked at the 8.5 by 11 paper, and I asked, what does this all say? She said, well, it is the building instructions to a water park. I asked, how am I ever going to find this park with no address? Unquote. She said, well, there aren't very many parks that are water parks on New York Avenue. I said, Noah and I, We'll have to leave an hour ahead of time so that we will be sure not to be late. Okay. Habakkuk 2 and 3 says, "For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it hasteth towards the end. It and shall not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay." So she said, "I won't be late." The first fruits will be right on time. I then asked her to read the light blue instructions to me, and while she was reading it, a vision of the water park opened up in front of me on the playground. All the slides were red and yellow. Then I looked down at the paper, and I could no longer hear Maria's voice, but instead the father's voice describing all the dimensions of the water park, like I've imagined him telling Noah the dimensions of the ark and Moses the dimensions of the tabernacle. Then a small heavenly 3D version of the water park materialized over the paper, and I cupped it in the palm of my hand and looked closely at all the intricate details. The water slides shimmered and sparkled. The yellow was golden, and the red was metallic and sparkling as well. And then I woke up. And she said, "Speaking of the month of October, I'm reminded of a dream that I had of the date of October the 26th. Again, that was the resurrection date, right? Which we have seen represents resurrection. And we called it the program for October the 26th. Eve Brast, 3:1:19. And David Dengler also put notes in here besides myself. I dreamed I, representing the corporate body of the bride, was holding a white invitation or small program. David was standing to the right of me, looking at it too. David represents the corporate body of the Man-Child Ministries, the David Man-Child, right? All I could read on it was the date, 10/26. In the dream, I said, quote, "of this year, 2019, unquote. So that was the beginning of the delay, right? David Dengler said this: "This is HRC's birthday, Hillary Rodham Clinton's birthday, and there are 66 days left to the end of the year." That's an interesting note, right? This could be representing the man child's Judas, right? The 66, right? And Eve said, "This date could have been delayed to be fulfilled this current year, 2021. This date could represent the man-child returning from being caught up to the throne authority to lead the first fruits bride body." Well, his 12 disciples corporately were that body, according to what John the Baptist said. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom," right? And they were to lead the first fruits bride body to the marriage feast for the 7-day years of the tribulation. And you know, in Daniel's prophecy, each day was a year. So that's where we keep getting these 7-day years, right? In the dream, while I was holding the invitation or program, and David and I were reading it, there was an alien entity with the eyes of a dragon, and many tiny tentacles invading many people's bodies all around us, and completely taking them over. Oh, we now understand what this means. Okay, and we will share that with you. And when it would get inside of them, their eyes would look like dragon's eyes, because they were becoming a part of the dragon. And eventually the entity would burst out of their chest with its thin tentacles, killing its host and moving on to a new host. This is representing coughing out spike proteins to kill others, right? She said, this alien entity is also a timing indicator that we didn't understand back in 2019, pre-pandemic. Yes, we didn't understand it, but now we do, because it's become very clear to us. Spiritually speaking, this is what the deep state faction in church and state does with their slander infestations of others as they infect them with demons. They are members of the dragon body of Satan that attempt to devour the man, child, and woman. The apostates have always fought against the truth and those who speak it. So, let's address this alien entity with thin tentacles that kills people in a more literal way, because we understand it now. We are currently in the midst of an engineered vaccine plandemic, Eve said. People are dying by the tens of thousands because of the poisons and the foreign bodies and substances that are being injected into their bodies through the mass vaccine mandate campaign. We recently viewed a video interview by Stu Peters of Dr. Zandre Botha, who is a blood specialist, on what the scientists have found in one droplet of a vaccine vial under a microscope, and it revealed these alien-looking creatures that look like little squids with tentacles called Immortal Hydra Vulgaris. And we'll put a link here so you can go and see that this is the truth, okay? According to Wikipedia, the Hydra have 4 to 12 tentacles that protrude from just outside the mouth. They are clinging to a base object with a foot pad shaped like a disc. The Hydra moves by releasing its grip on its base and is carried away by the current, or in this case, the blood stream. It carries to different parts of the body, to the brain especially. This thing goes to the brain to destroy the brain. Now, some factors people don't need that because they're already there. When a Hydra is cut into segments, each segment, if large enough, will grow into an individual Hydra sized relative to the size of the segment. That's amazing. It's multiplying in the people who have that vaccine. This scientist who described what she saw said that one of these creatures at the edge of the slip cover on the slide in her microscope was lifting itself up off the slide in what looked like an attempt to free itself from being partially trapped under the slip cover. In other words, there's an intelligence there. Okay, we'll explain how that works. In Stu Peters' interview with Dr. Jane Ruby, we'll put the link here, she talks about the Polish scientist, Dr. Frank Zaleski's video. He discovered that the Hydra-shaped life forms that had been discovered by other scientists in the vax were composed of aluminum, carbon, and bromine. The graphene oxide-rich environment, we put a note on the graphene oxide here, a link, causes the eggs to start to move, and then the life form hatches out of the eggs. And then we got screenshots for that right here. You can see this. This is crazy, I'm telling you. It's a very alien, you know. In Stu Peters' interview with Karen Kingston, she talks about the patents and explains how the nanotech machinery that is being injected into people through the so-called vaccines is activated through electronic devices outside of the body, like phones or computers. She talks about an app that is downloaded onto the phones or computers to do this. In other words, they can control you from a phone or a computer if you take this. That's where it's headed, because this thing is multiplying in your body to take over your brain. Okay? And this is what they are putting into people's bodies. Well, thank God many people are waking up and delaying this thing for a future date. Well, many see that the aspects of this vaccine as the mark of the beast, which does not come until the abomination of desolation is set up in the middle of the tribulation. However, they will build on this experiment, it's been called an experiment, and its success until then. They were pushing the mark early, but Trump will give us time to build the kingdom, and then it will come. This is what the Lord has already showed us. These creatures, Eve said, remind me of a dream Father gave me that was shared in one of our evening meetings back in October of 2018. Almost exactly 3 years ago. And the Lord brought these dreams back to her remembrance and wanted to show more and how they fit together. And now we're seeing it. So, here's the revelation that she's going to share. Operation Warp Speed, a bioweapon attack on the American people. And this was given to her 10, 16, and 18. Eve Brast. I dreamed that I was talking to David about the Hurricane Michael event that wiped out Mexico Beach, Panama City, and Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida. Michael means who is like God. And the storm that is upon us is bringing God's judgment upon the U.S. especially, but also the rest of the world. As goes the U.S., so goes the world. Well, in that hurricane, which did not act like a hurricane at all, and wasn't, large buildings were wrecked with many deep state jets of different kinds being destroyed. I saw the pictures of this back then, okay? So there was an attack here that was to bring down part of the Air Force that was being used against America. Suddenly, Father began showing me what really happened. He took me up into the atmosphere, Eve said, and shrunk me down on a molecular level to the size of the molecules. In hindsight, I believe the storm was Operation Warp Speed, which Trump signed off on, which appears to have brought a vaccine-induced plague and resulting vaccine mandates and medical tyranny upon the world. Well, just to make a little point here, we don't be surprised if President Trump has a hidden angle on this to destroy the deep state who created this monster. I read that he says they deceived him. Do I think that's possible? Well, yes, I do. Cyrus is doing his job, and the Lord always spoke well of that job in his word. So we have to think well of him who is doing that job. But let the truth come out, Lord, no matter who it catches. That's what I say. Do I believe he could be deceived? Listen, he is warring against a people who are Satanists. And they, all of the witches of the world, by the way, are joined with them. They are sending witchcraft against Trump every day. That's why you have to pray for him. Okay? Everything in this strange place had the colors of the rainbow around like an aura. I saw particles that had been discovered by scientists, but their existence had not been disclosed to the public. They were white, but had the appearance of mother of pearl at different angles. As described in the video linked above with Dr. Madej, she described rainbow colors and translucent particles in the vaccine droplet under the microscope. Father spoke behind me in a deep, booming voice that made everything in this place shudder and move all around with excitement. He said, quote, "They have modified and weaponized these particles," unquote. These injections aren't vaccines. They are binary bioweapons that are currently killing tens of thousands of people. And once people start getting the boosters, they will kill hundreds of thousands. And they already have. An update on this is 700,000 are reported to have already died. Wow. He brought me up close to one of them, and it had a fluidity to it and was similar to a jellyfish. It would change from a mushroom shape to a bullet shape with very short tentacles at the end. There's this creature, you see. It seems to have intelligence and could change shape to propel itself through space. These are the Hydra vulgaris immortal. And they say they're immortal because they just keep dividing and multiplying and don't die. So that we saw under the microscope in the video linked above, which the drug companies have put into the so-called vaccines. Did Trump know about that? I don't know. He knows about it now. I watched as the particle started out in a mushroom shape but changed into a bullet shape as it was drawn into a narrow slit all around the circumference of a large metallic man-made saucer-shaped weapon in the atmosphere. It was then compressed down with millions of like particles in some sort of centrifuge funnel or barrel, and then directed and streamed to the earth. Well, centrifuges are used in labs to spin down and separate fluids and their substances, and they're able to aerosolize the spike proteins and spray them from the air upon population centers or conventions where people are gathered. These spike proteins have been proven to be able to penetrate the skin, and we'll put a video link here, and enter people's bodies in that way also. And we put an image here too. Father spoke again and said, quote, "President Trump has been briefed on and knows about this technology and had signed off on its use upon the state of Florida." Unquote. The name Florida means full of flowers and is represented as all flesh on earth, right? 1 Peter 2:1-24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. I then had an open vision of President Trump with one of his generals standing over him on his left, signing off on the orders to use this technology on the state of Florida. Remember, I told you that what happened there at Tyndall Air Force Base. It looks like Father was showing us a parable in this dream of the mass vaccination campaign and mandates that are being forced on the entire population of the world. According to Wikipedia, on May 15, 2020, President Donald Trump officially announced the public-private partnership. The purpose of Operation Warp Speed was to coordinate health and human services' wide efforts, including the NIH, Active Partnership for Vaccine and Therapeutic Development, the NIH RADx Initiative for Diagnostic Development. It has been said that President Trump had another vaccine in process using beneficial ingredients. Did they deceive him, or was he involved? We pray the truth comes out, no matter who is responsible. Amen. Goals. According to the Department of Health and Human Services fact sheet, the main stated goal of Operation Warp Speed was to produce and deliver 300 million doses of safe and effective vaccines, with the initial doses available by January 2021 as part of a broader strategy to accelerate the development, manufacturing, and distribution of COVID-19 vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics. The specific targets, as outlined in various media, included support of pharmaceutical companies of 7 different vaccine candidates simultaneously and certain therapeutic compounds. Well, these people haven't been able to be trusted. Support several vaccine manufacturers for rapid scale-up of manufacturing capacity. Support organization and facilitate simultaneous FDA review of phase 1-3 clinical trials, 1-3 clinical trials, on several of the most promising vaccine candidates. Phases 1, 2, and 3, in which phase 1 is the placebo. Phase 2 is the low dose of spike protein, and phase 3 is the full dose of spike protein, are all being rolled out simultaneously. So you see why some people seem to be unaffected by the vaccine, because they got 1 or 2. And some people die very quickly because they got 3. And she goes on to say, this is why some people have no side effects because they received a placebo, and others have varying degrees of severity of side effects, with a link here, by the way. And the next bullet point is facilitate manufacturing vaccine candidates while they remain pre-approved during pre-final clinical research to prepare for rapid deployment if proven to be safe and effective. Another bullet point, coordinate with the Department of Defense for vaccine supply. Amen. Well, we know that happened because Eve saw it happen, right? And deployment around the United States, and track every vaccine vial and the injection schedule for each American receiving a vaccination. This is what was happening in the dream with the general standing to Trump's left. We pray the tracking of these deadly bioweapons is made known. While coordination was expected with the FDA on technical matters, Commissioner Stephen Hahn noted that the FDA would provide technical and development assistance to Operation Warp Speed, but the manufacturers decide if they're going to go forward or not, and clarified that the agency had drawn a very bright line at FDA between us and Operation Warp Speed because we're the independent regulator. Okay, unquote. So back to Eve's bioweapon attack dream. Then I was back in our physical realm trying to explain to David what Father had just shown me. But we couldn't understand the technology or what I was saying to describe and couldn't believe that Trump could do such a thing to the American people. Well, I've read all of the verses of God's opinion of Cyrus, and it's all good. Do I believe that he could be deceived by their witchcraft? Yes, I do. And I have seen it happen with the faction. I am a personal witness that people who acted relatively good were suddenly taken in a wrong direction. So then I woke up. And she says, well, hindsight is 20/20. I think this dream is a lot clearer than it was almost exactly 3 years ago. David's note in 2018 says this, time will tell concerning this dream above. I believe both sides have these weapons and more exotic ones, as Eve saw, and God will make use of them to bring a chastening to America and the church, but revival will come afterwards. And as we have seen in the type of Jesus' ministry, Jesus in the man-child will bring the revival. I believe the deep state is using threats from the earthquakes and a new plague to cause the president to stop his rounding these criminals up for prosecution and execution and bringing in the new economy, which effectively cuts out the deep state. Yes, it is. So, Eve says, I asked Father for a word by faith at random concerning Trump's signing of the order to use this technology on Florida, and my finger was on, remove thy way far from her, quote unquote, in Proverbs 5 and 8, and in context 4 through 14. The American harlot is still a harlot, no matter how much you love her and want to see her restored. Her ways will still bring you down to death if you aren't sanctified. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, continuing with Proverbs, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on Sheol, death, so that she findeth not the level path of life. Her ways are unstable, and she knoweth it not. Now therefore, my sons, hearken unto me, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the tent of her house, lest thou give thine honor to others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy strength, and thy labors be in the house of an alien. You see, people out there who are warring on one side or the other, they don't understand. They're laboring in the house of an alien. It's always going to be a beast over this world. We're just changing from the Babylonian beast to the media beast that's coming now. Amen. And of course, at first, the Lord tells us to cooperate. Okay, so I'll address this again later if I can. And thou mourn at thy latter end when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Well, sure, so many people have been deceived by this beast, and even Christians who don't read their Bible are being deceived by this beast and its, you know, bioweapon. And say, how have I hated instruction? Yes, they have. They've been hated instructions. And my heart despised reproof. Neither have I obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was well nigh in all evil in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. Amen. I asked Father for a word by faith at random concerning the Hurricane Michael event, and my finger was on, quote, all things come alike to all, unquote. And Ecclesiastes 9 and 2, and the context is 1 through 3. For all this I laid to my heart, even to explore all of this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Whether it be loved or hated, man knoweth it not. All is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. There you go, one event. So, back to Eve's dream of the invitation and the alien creatures. She said, I asked Father for a word for this dream by faith at random and got Job 14 and 7, in context 7 through 9. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, resurrection life, right? And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through scent of water it will bud, and put forth boughs like a plant. Well, this is very obvious. Daniel saw the tree of Babylon cut down. And we know that when Cyrus conquered Babylon, the people of God sprouted, and went home to their land to rebuild the kingdom. And some of these people will be those fallen to the Babylonish faction, no doubt. So, yes, we're given a little bit of time. In our revelations, Trump was giving us time till about the middle of the tribulation when the beast starts making war on the saints again. And the communists take over. The communist leftist liberals take over. All that's being built now by this Medo-Persian empire is going to be used ultimately against us. To start with, we know that Cyrus is conquering Babylon and that he is the Medo-Persian empire that conquered Babylon. He represents that, our Cyrus Trump. He represents that conquered Babylon, right? And we're supposed to cooperate with this, and God has nothing but good to say about this phase of this new Medo-Persian empire that's conquering Babylon. He has nothing but good to say about this. He's going to use it to rebuild the kingdom. He's going to use their funds, which our Cyrus plundered from the Babylonian deep state, by the way. Yes, plundered them in order that the redistribution of wealth, which is the very opposite of what Obama's plan was, obviously, will be used to rebuild the kingdom. So, we're to stick with this. We're to be, this is why I haven't spoken out about this much until just recently, because people would take this to say, oh yes, you see, Cyrus or Trump is the Antichrist. Well, I believe a covenant has been made. It's been made with the militaries of the world. It's been made with the world. In the beginning, this thing is going to be beneficial to the people of God. We're not making that covenant, right? the Lord is making the covenant. The Lord is bringing the tribulation. Let me say, the Lord is the one who's bringing the mark of the beast. Why is he doing that? Because the mark of the beast is going to separate the wheat from the tares. See, people can sit in church and play church all day long, but when the trial comes down, will you not partake in the benefits of this worldly system in order to go out in the wilderness? Who's going to feed your children? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do this? They always think of this. You know, who's going to do this? Well, they don't have any faith whatsoever. God already took a people through the wilderness, and there was no visible means of support. And now he's going to do it again. So there's some people that are clawing their way back to the flesh pots. They don't want it out there. They don't like the trial. They don't have any faith, so they don't believe God can give manna out of heaven. And the mark of the beast is going to divide between the true saints and the fake saints. And God prophesied it, and he never one time said, we're not going to do that. No, he prophesied the mark of the beast. It has to come. It identifies the beast, the real beast, the people who walk in the flesh. It identifies them. It is necessary. Some people will do anything to try to stop the mark of the beast from coming. Well, that just leave that up to God. It will be here when it's supposed to be. He's given us some grace. He's given us Osiris, Trump, to delay what the beast was trying to do now till later. He's given us some time. Now, redeem the time that you've got. And when the criminals begin to force the mark of the beast again in the middle of the tribulation period, just back out of it. You can go into the wilderness. You can trust God. God still multiplies the fishes and the loaves. And he still supplies your needs out of heaven. But let me tell you, there is a lot of people who have never read the Bible. They're just following their dead religion, which has no supernatural qualities to it whatsoever. Just accept Jesus and sit on a pew and wait for the rapture. So multitudes of these people are going to take the mark of the beast, and we've just proven it, because apostate ministries all over the world have said, go get this vaccine so we can fellowship in safety. We have just proven what is about to happen on a much larger scale in the middle of the tribulation period. Look and see. Look who did this. Even when they were told, oh, look, this is the deep state. They're trying to give you the mark of the beast. They're trying to kill you with this. Oh, no, no, no. They trust their government. You know, they pledge allegiance to their flag and they mean it, right? How terrible God's people are. How apostate, how turned away from the faith they are. They don't know that the righteous live from faith. And anybody that shrinks back, the Lord said, my soul has no pleasure in them. These people don't even know what faith is. You can't get anywhere on this planet or off of it that God cannot supply your needs. You're not dependent upon the beast. Everybody that's dependent upon the beast is going to have the beast's mark. As I've explained in our teachings, there's two marks of the beast. One of them is the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. A person who walks after the flesh must die. That's what Paul said. The mind of the flesh. In other words, the mark in the forehead or in the hand, which is a symbol for works, right? Everybody who walks with the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh will take the mark that everybody knows about and that we now see is being experimented with. Everybody knows it. So who's going to take it? Yes, exactly. Same people that went out and took the vaccine. You say, David, you're pretty hard on us. I'm warning you. You now have a chance. You can repent of this. You can turn away from this. God will heal people. But when the mark comes, it's too late. If you do the same thing then that you just did now, you are going to die eternally. That's what the words. I don't care what these reprobates say. You're going to die eternally. As the Bible says, you'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what it says. Oh, no, the mark of God trumps the mark of the beast. No, it doesn't. You can't have both at the same time, and you won't have both at the same time. These are people who walk in the flesh and can't imagine walking by faith in a wilderness for God to supply their needs daily. They can't imagine that because they've got no faith. Because they're false. They're usurpers. And they're destroying multitudes of people. We have to repent. God's people have to repent. Turn back to the Word of God. Find out what Christianity looks like. Find out that we never were to depart from the supernatural aspects of God's provision for healing, deliverance, provision for food, all the things that a person needs. Jesus didn't have to go to Walmart. He just multiplied the fishes and the loaves. I have seen God multiply food in our house. I've seen him multiply money in my pocket. There is no place you can get that God cannot supply your needs. We sat down at the table one day. We had been walking by faith, and we'd run out of everything in the house. And my wife asked me, what are we going to do now? I said, set the table. So we set the table, and I said one of my simple prayers. God, we're asking you either to fill these plates or to fill our tummies. I didn't even know what was coming out of my mouth. All of my kids started getting up full. I was looking at them like, what? And then I felt, hey, I'm not hungry either. You see, you can't get anywhere God can't supply your need. You just can't do it. I seen him fill pots up that were half emptied by us when we ate the first part, you know. Next day, opened them up to find them full again. Aha! Ooh! God told me one time, I said, I need some money, Lord. He said, go shove your hand under your mattress. I didn't put any money under that mattress. I came out with $8,500 in my hand. And I shoved my hand right on it, too. And another time, the same thing happened, $8,500. I was asking the Lord, we need some more money, Lord. He said, go look in your drawer. No, a friend asked me that he needed something in my drawer. And I went to my drawer, and I took it off, and I handed it to him, and he walked out the door. And I looked underneath the thing I picked up. There was another roll of $8,500. And I didn't put it there, and nobody else did either, except the angels of God. You can't get anywhere God can't supply your needs. You're trusting in the world. You're pledging allegiance to a flag that, by the way, represented the deep state up until recently. They ran everything. What can you pledge allegiance to something like that for? This is a beast. Every nation in the world is a member of that beast. There's only one nation, one holy nation in all of the earth, and it's Christianity, true Christianity. Peter talked about that one holy nation. So we worldwide are to belong to that. That's where our allegiance is, and we don't pledge. Like the Lord said, you don't have authority to do that. So, saints, get ready. the test is on. People are being tested now. People are taking this now. Multitudes of people are dying because they do not have any faith in God. And without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. It's impossible, he said. They have no faith in God. They've never walked in the wilderness. They can't be a Moses to take you into the wilderness. Moses went through his own wilderness before he took the people of God into the wilderness. They can't walk there. They can't go there. They want to stay by the flesh pots. They can't take people there. They don't take people there. These are a bunch of reprobate preachers that have stolen that position. They came up another way, as Jesus said in John chapter 10. They came up another way. They received their authority by man. They didn't receive it by God. All the Pharisees and Sadducees went to their Bible schools, and they got their paperwork, and they got their initials behind their name and all this stuff. Jesus sat on a rock. He didn't have anything from them that gave him authority. They even came to him and said, "Where did you get this authority?" Yes, and they do the same thing today. Where do you get your authority? What a mess we have fallen into. We need to pray. Lord, we pray that this is the time that you're going to do it now. That you're going to start building and preparing the people to build your true temple and city. Lord, we thank you for doing this in Jesus' name. We know you've been working hard to get your bride prepared, your man-child prepared, to bring God's people where they need to go. Moses told Pharaoh, "We can't serve God in Egypt. We must go into the wilderness to serve God, because that's the only place you live by faith. The righteous shall live from faith. If he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And even those who were affected by the mixed multitude that went with them, meaning, of course, they were half Jew and half Egyptian, right? Mixed multitude. We got a lot of them. They're called lukewarm. And he spews them out of his mouth, right? So those who were affected by the mixed multitude feared to go into the promised land. They feared the giants. And these mixed multitude out there caused God's people to sin, to turn away from him. And that's how they ended up with the golden calf, which, by the way, they worshipped in Egypt. They ended up with the golden calf. You see, many people are worshipping the golden calf. They're not worshiping the Lord of heaven. If they were, they would read the Bible and they would find out what it is to be a Christian. Jesus said, "These signs will accompany them that believe." They're still true today. Supernatural signs accompany the true believers. If you're in a dead church, come out from among them and be separate, because judgment is coming. Go and seek what you see in the book of Acts. That's a demonstration of what the church is like. Go and look at the demonstration that Jesus gave his disciples when he raised them up to walk in the same steps that he walked in, with the same power that he had. "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." They say they got the Holy Spirit when they accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, but they ain't got any power. So they're lying. "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses." In other words, those disciples went out, and they were a witness of Jesus. When people saw them, they saw Jesus. When people heard them, they heard Jesus. These people aren't a witness of any kind of Christianity. They've been taught to cast all that down. They have to leave half of their Bible untouched. God's calling for repentance. The tribulation is coming. There's going to be a great falling away in the midst of it, just like happened with the Jews. Open your eyes. Read your Bible. Quit going to church when it's not church. Church is the called out ones. These people have not come out. They're still members of the mother harlot. They have not come out. She was the mother of the harlots. All those denominations that came out of her are harlots. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and don't touch the unclean thing. I'll be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Come out from among them. Don't partake of her plagues, he says. Well, they're ignoring me. Just like they've ignored many others. But Father, we know you know what you're doing. And when things are all said and done, your holy people are going to come forth in your power by your Holy Spirit and walk in your steps. And the earth is going to be shaken. In the name of Jesus, we declare it, we decree it. It will happen. It is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for granting us repentance and turning us away from the things of this world and the ways of this world. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, all right, saints, God bless you and keep you. We hope this is a little bit more to your understanding here, and we'll get some more later. Praise God. All right. God bless you. Bye.